that second person point of view is really powerful to use in that way, because it does create a little bit of a disconnect while also still making it personal.
Yeah.
I love second person point of view. All right, and welcome to the Book Jar Podcast, a bi-weekly podcast dedicated to talking about books, and that's pretty much all you need to know. My name is Marissa, and I am here, as always, with my best friend, Megan.
Hi.
So, how are you today, Megan?
I'm doing pretty good. How about yourself?
I'm doing all right. I was just frantically adding in my book. For once in my life, I forgot to add a book into StoryCast.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's unlike you. I like reading people's, like, going to the community and being like, who started a new book? But I feel like with you, that doesn't happen because you read it so fast that you just add it.
Sometimes it's in there, though.
Sometimes. But not all the time.
Yeah, that's true.
And then
true.
I feel very lonely of my community of five people.
Wow. Well, that got sad really fast.
Sorry, guys. So, I mean, hint, hint, if you have StoryGraph, add me.
Yeah.
so I can creep out what you're reading and doing.
She's apparently not doing well.
Yeah, it's very sad, lonely over there, guys. Please join.
Please join and talk to me about book.
Also, today, sweater weather. The rain be going.
What is happening to you right now?
I don't know. I'm just thinking about it because I'm like, this, to me, I love reading in the rain.
Yeah, it's good reading weather.
Yeah, so sweater weather.
Sweater weather.
Have you not seen that? That's an SNL skit.
Is it?
And I'll show you it after this because clearly
this is super not on topic.
Yeah, sorry, this is off topic, guys, but it's important.
Megan needs friends on StoryGraph, and that's why this is happening.
Yeah, this is why, because I'm thinking about all the places I read by myself.
And all right, well, let's get back on track with what have you been reading recently, Megan?
I read The 10,000 Doors of January.
Yes.
Which, by Alex E. Harrow, which we did for our book club. And it's pretty good. I really enjoyed it. It was kind of magical realism. Kind of reminded me of The Secret Garden-ish, like similar vibes. It was really fun. Overall, like, I found the plot a little bit, like, predictable, I guess, in a way. But it was still, like, a really fun, like, cute read and everything. Okay. And to be honest, that's about all I've read. It was a slower month for me.
Right.
What about you?
Well, I can't... Did we talk about how I was finished A Crown of Swords?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. So then I've read 4 books.
Okay. That's good.
Yeah. There, you'll see my train of thought immediately, because last year, I read the first Bridgerton book and I was like, that's good enough. We don't need to read the rest. And then for some reason, I don't know if it's because the new season is coming out and I'm getting a lot more, like, I'm hearing a lot more about it, but something in my brain went, you know, from this very calm person about the series to a gremlin who needed to read it yesterday. And so I decided I was going to read them all within, like, 2 days.
Of course.
I didn't quite get through all of them because turns out I don't care about the younger siblings and their love story yet. I think it's because they're not in the show, to be honest. And they're not really that prominent in the books. The books are very heavily focused on whose story it is. Like, it doesn't have a lot of side attention like the show does. So I read The Viscount Who Loved Me, An Offer from a Gentleman, Romancing Mr. Bridgerton, and To Sir Philip with Love. Literally within 2 days.
Wow.
So I am not done the Bridgerton series, but I also feel like I'm done where I care about the Bridgerton series.
That's fair.
I will say, so those stories are Anthony's, Benedict, Colin and Penelope's, and Eloise's. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed them. I think the weirdest one to read was An Offer from a Gentleman because it was Benedict's. And Benedict is he feels very different in the books than in the show. I don't know how much they're going to change about his story. Mm-hmm. And I'm kind of curious what they're going to do with that one, just because it doesn't, I don't know how much it fits him, but we'll see. I was really excited to read the Penelope Cullen one.
Yeah, I'm
that
excited.
Season
of, that season.
Yeah, they kind of switched the seasons there because it was supposed to be Benedict's, but they did Cullen's instead.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I did really enjoy that one. So yeah, I just had a little romance binge.
I love that.
Going on.
Love that.
They're definitely,
you.
And I will say this maybe gently for maybe young ears, but they're not as spicy as the show. They have scenes, but like maybe scenes plural.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like there's one scene.
That I feel like that's up my alley, you know?
Yeah, it felt very fun and about the romance part of it and with the attached spicy part.
Yeah.
Instead of it being about the spicy bit.
Yeah.
So I don't know. That's kind of my vibe more as well. Like I like when there's a little bit more to the story.
Yeah. The story and like not the that romance they're... and the buildup.
Yeah.
I love all that.
Yeah, exactly. Not like there can't be with a really spicy one a good story. But I do prefer when it's not primary. It's more secondary if it is there, mostly because I don't feel like that's why I'm reading it. But I did have a lot of fun. They're a lot of fun if you just let them be fun. But if you like, I feel like if you read them and tried to make them into like something more than just fun, I definitely would take a lot of issue with them.
Yeah,
like they're not masterpieces, but they are really enjoyable. So that's kind of what I've been reading.
Fair.
All right. And then that was it.
That's it.
Just 4 books in 2 days. That's it.
That's pretty good. I mean, I guess, you know, your Robert Jordan book took up the other.
Yeah. Yeah.
The other weeks.
I will say that. Yeah. I think that's also maybe why I was enjoying them so much is because Robert Jordan's, this series isn't necessarily feeling fun first right now. We're also about to enter the slog and...
Yeah, you gotta read some light-hearted...
I gotta quick not reads. Try to do too many detail-heavy reads, I feel like. I feel like that'll burn me out really fast.
Yeah, for sure.
And speaking of maybe more detail-heavy reads, I don't know if that works really well, but we're gonna use that as our segue into our topic today, which is our favorite autobiographies and or memoirs, anything in there. So are you ready for your lesson?
Yes, please.
Autobiographies and memoirs are sometimes used interchangeably, and that's fine. Like, I understand that's how the English language has progressed, yada, yada, yada. That's fine. If we're talking on a pure technicality, though, there is a little bit of a difference. So an autobiography, it's kind of one of those things. I feel like you can call any memoir an autobiography almost, but not every autobiography is going to be a memoir. Yeah, so an autobiography generally recounts an entire life. So we're talking birth to wherever they are when they wrote it. And that's the main thing. So they're talking about their whole life, the ups and downs, highs, lows, all of that stuff. Whereas a memoir is more about a particular moment. So when we talk about a memoir, we're talking about maybe somebody who's, you know, isolating one part of their life and telling that in extreme detail. So that's where you get memoirs that are more focused, whereas autobiographies are more, this is my whole life kind of thing. Memoirs can also be about theme. So they will cherry pick certain parts of their life that fit around a specific theme. So Vivek Shraikha, I'm Afraid of Men, that would be a really good example of that, where that wasn't a picture of the whole life that was lived, but it was a picture of the parts of the life that was lived that had to do with gender, identity, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And so that's the difference you get with autobiography and memoir. Again, they can be used pretty interchangeably, but if we're getting on a technicality, that's kind of what it is. And I do appreciate that. You know, when I'm sitting down to read something that is an autobiography, it's going to be a little bit of a different experience than a memoir.
Mm-hmm.
Or I'm expecting it to be. I've definitely had the experience where sometimes I think they just liked the word memoir better.
Yeah.
But that's kind of the gist of it. So all in all, I kind of do, unless I have a very vested interest in a particular person, I do find that I enjoy memoirs more because they are more focused and more directly relate to whatever I want to learn about. Whereas autobiographies are so general that it can be a little boring at times or whatever. So that's kind of the difference there. And I know you wanted to talk about that because you had a couple maybe on your list that you're like, yeah, I don't really know which one they are.
I feel like going through my picks here. I feel like they're all memoirs.
Yeah, and that's very, very possible.
Yeah, I just feel like you said, like, I don't know if I have the interest in an autobiography of any one person's life, so I haven't picked anything up yet. Yeah,
and that's very fair. I have read a few I've read both, and I will say, like, I do like autobiographies when they're about somebody I care about.
Yeah.
Because I will really devour that. But if you're trying to get me to read a memoir, like a book about somebody, and I don't really know them, and I don't really like super care about learning every detail of their life, you're probably going to sell me on a memoir faster.
Yeah.
So with that, I don't know. Do you want to start or do you want me to?
You go ahead.
Okay. So I will say, I guess the one last thing I do want to point out as well. So there is biography as well, which is written by someone else. So we're not talking about those ones here. We're talking about the person wrote it themselves. And I'm going to start out with a little bit of a deep cut. And this is Martha Graham's. It's called an autobiography. I would consider it an autobiography. It is tagged as a memoir as well, which does kind of make sense because they're all mostly dance focused. But I'm going to be honest, I think that was her whole life. So Martha Graham, for those who don't know, was a modern dancer, pretty much the modern dancer who codified a specific form of modern dance. And she has a autobiography called Blood Memory. And just the name alone probably tells you a lot about this person. So she was very intense. She was very focused and she was very passionate. And she was all those things specifically about modern dance. Martha Graham revolutionized the modern dance world. So reading her autobiography was almost like homework for me when I was in university. Like, it just kind of, you had to, right? Yeah. This is actually, it was a really hard autobiography to find to own a copy of. I remember borrowing it from the university library because they did have a copy, but trying to find my own copy was actually not an easy feat. I don't think there's just a lot that were printed. This is probably one of my favorite autobiographies, strictly because, well, for a couple of reasons. One, you wouldn't necessarily think a dancer, or I think a lot of people wouldn't think of a dancer as having a really good writing voice, but she really, because she was such a focused individual, she really did have a clarity of her ideas and her how she wanted her life to be read. And so it's a very illuminating reading it. And as a dancer, you can relate to a lot of it, but it's also really cool to hear the background of her life and what kind of went down in between the big moments that you hear about. This one, like I said, this is an autobiography where if you're not really interested in dance and you're not really interested in dance history and you don't know who Martha Graham is, it's probably not going to be your favorite read. I will say it is such a powerful read and she had such a great way of explaining her ideas. Like, I really felt like I was a more thoughtful person after I read it. And I feel like that's really powerful to find in an autobiography. So this is one I really did want to mention.
Okay. That sounds very interesting. I don't know if I personally would get a lot out of it.
Yeah, but it's one of those things, right? You might not.
Yeah. But I
as much.
Like, but you did a good job explaining like the purpose of like the autobiography though. Of like what it can add to someone that you are studying or like know a little bit about or whatever.
And I know a lot of the autobiographies I ended up reading were like, that's when I started getting into autobiographies, was in university when I had to research someone. And I would actually get really frustrated when I couldn't find one. I was like, why didn't you write about your life? Why didn't you do that? And I had to go to a biography because the biographies are so much less personal. And while they can give you a really good view of the person's life and potentially even a better view of the person's life because it's not coming with that level of personal bias, I just love hearing their own thoughts so much better.
Yeah, for sure. So
anyway, that was the first one on my list.
All right. Well, I'll go if that's cool with you.
Yeah, go.
Okay. I've talked about this one. Obviously, I've talked about this one before because I read it and we talk about our reads every time.
Yeah.
So this is the In the Dream House by Carmen Maria Machado. This one I would say is definitely more of a memoir. And this is the one about The author being in a same-sex relationship. And she kind of talks about the complexities of that relationship. She also goes into the history of like LGBTQ plus experiences, which I thought was really cool because it's not only is she talking about her relationship as well as like it being a domestic abuse situation, she also gives history into LGBTQ relationships and like why society looks at those relationships a certain way and why they're treated a certain way and stuff like that, which I thought was really well done in that it was still read as like a story, I guess, versus like a research paper. So it actually was very informative as well. And then another thing that I really thought that she did really well and interesting was that she would write parts of her life as versus like an I point of view when it was her outside of this domestic abusive relationship versus you when she was describing who she was in the relationship. So I really thought that was a really like creative, intuitive way to write her memoir. I guess like it was just different and it kind of really separated that you can be this different person in this relationship and feel like a different person in this relationship. And
and so I think a really powerful takeaway from that is, and I'm not sure how much everyone can necessarily relate to this, but the idea that when you go through something that feels traumatic or is traumatic, there is a response, and this doesn't necessarily happen to everyone, but there is a response in which you become kind of not in your body. I'm not talking like a full out of body experience, but you feel a little bit like you're watching it happen. Or you feel a little bit disconnected from your emotions, so that you, that second person point of view, is really powerful to use in that way because it does create a little bit of a disconnect while also still making it personal. I love second person point of view. I've said it many a time on this podcast. I love when it's used correctly, and it sounds like this is one of those examples. And I know I've said this about this specific book before, but I think you're right in saying that that it's almost intuitive to how it is happening, and that makes it a really powerful choice. So I love that you have that exposure to even just that inside of a memoir.
And it was just like, I haven't read anything in that point of view before. And like, I mean, unless you count fan fiction,
which I wouldn't in this reason, because when fan fiction is using that second person, it's doing it for a different reason. Not that fan fiction doesn't count. That's, I want to be really clear there.
But yeah, it was just very interesting to see you. It put me in that state of mind. Like, this is almost like a dreamlike state for her.
That's a good point.
You know, like, this doesn't seem like this was a, obviously a point in her life that shaped who she was or may have like highlighted how she grew up or how situations when she was younger might have led to this point in her life. But it ultimately, it was just like she isolated it really well, I guess, is kind of how I want to put it. But yeah, I don't know. It's a very interesting.
You've talked about this book before, and every time you bring it up, I'm intrigued.
Yeah, it is very intriguing. Again, like, read the content warnings and everything, because she does go into pretty detailed descriptions of a lot of the things she's been through. But it does also offer that like critical look into, you know, legal proceedings of LGBTQ like abusive relationships and how those are handled versus like a heterosexual couple and all of that. So it is very interesting.
Very illuminating. That's my word of the day.
That's the word. That's it. You've summed it up.
All right. So the next one I want to talk about is one that I'm sure, well, I'm not sure you're going to recognize, but as soon as I start explaining it, you're going to remember me talking about. So this is the Jose Limon, an unfinished memoir. This is technically, so this is my, remember when I said they're used interchangeably sometimes? This is an autobiography. This is not a memoir.
Okay. This one's obviously.
But somebody liked the word memoir better. And I would say it's an autobiography because he attempts to tell the story of his whole life. And yes, he is talking mostly about dance, which is maybe where the memoir categorization might kind of come into play. But I would argue really hard against that because, one, he does go outside of dance, and two, dance was a lot of his life. So I think that that, anyway, that's going to be my, what I'm going to say about that. But so Jose Limon is also So he was a dancer choreographer who was active through the 30s to the 60s. And he ended up dying before he could finish his autobiography, his memoir. And I've talked about this before, and like, this is one of the books I've cried over, because it just ends in the middle of a sentence, and then there's an ellipsis, and then you turn the page and it goes, Jose Limón never got to finish his memoir. And I immediately started bawling like a baby. And you know what? That's fair.
Yeah.
I think very similar to Martha Graham's, although not quite on that same level. I would give the writing a little bit more to Graham. But Limón had like such a clear way of talking about why he loved dance, why it was so important to him, what about it was so vital to the core of his being. And the other reason this one really sticks with you is because it's not finished.
Mm-hmm.
And while that leaves a very bitter taste in your mouth, it kind of adds to everything. It's unfair that it's unfinished. It's sad, but that's kind of the point. And I really love this, not only because it's unfinished, but because of how it was written. And I just think it all really comes together in a really beautiful way. Again, this is because I'm classifying it as an autobiography. Again, I wouldn't recommend this to anyone who's not interested in dance, at least a little bit. I will say it is really interesting to see an unfinished one.
Mm-hmm.
So that might intrigue a few more people. I think it's worth it if you have an interest in dance, but maybe don't know a lot about it. Like, I think you could still get a lot of value out of it. But yeah, I wouldn't try to take this on if you have zero interest in dance, because it's 95% dance.
Well, and just like the unfinished ending is so like final.
Yeah.
And it's, I don't know, I think autobiographies, you're kind of like, oh, this person lived this full long life and they were able to put all their thoughts and write it down and put in the world. But then when it's like, no, this person was going through something and they passed away, whatever is going on, and they really wanted to express their life to everyone, but unfortunately
they didn't get to finish
it. We all know what happened to, like, if you know him, like, obviously I don't know what actually happened to him, but if you do know his career and his life and stuff, then you're like, oh, this is really sad that
He didn't get to go any further.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's one that will always stay with me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure I would have the same feeling about it. Like, it was really good. It was really well written, but I don't know, like, without the unfinishedness, I don't know how much it would have stuck.
Yeah. So my next one is, it's been a pretty popular book over the past year or so, but I'm Glad My Mom Died by Jeanette McCurdy.
Yeah, this one's very infamous.
Yeah, it's been around. So I picked it up. I mean, obviously it had a lot of attention on social media and stuff initially. Go ahead.
Oh no, I was just saying
Yeah, okay. You're agreeing with me.
Yeah, I'm just agreeing. In no short part because of the title.
Oh yeah, like, it's very eye-catching for sure.
You can't ignore that.
No. And then the picture, like, the cover's literally her holding a pink urn.
Yeah.
It gets the people going.
It's
provocative. So I picked it up because I never really watched her shows, but I was interested in them, I guess.
Yeah.
And then also, I've always had an interest in child stars. Like, I don't know, that might sound weird, but just growing up, I was like, oh, it would be so cool to be famous when you're a child. You, like, want to be on your favorite TV shows with your favorite actors.
And then they come out years later and they're like, no.
You're like, my life is a little bit messed up and I've had to go to therapy. All these things that come out, I feel like, with child stars, amongst other things. So I just had a very, you know, I was very curious about it. And so it follows her, obviously, being a former child star. Her mom was the one that got her into it and kind of, well, actually very controlling of her life.
Right.
And so it follows Jeanette kind of realizing what she's been through and explaining everything. Also the behind the scenes of being a child star and working on these sets where you're basically being abused by your employers at this point, like, in various ways. And her not having that confidence in herself, having lots of anxiety, all these things that progressed into eating disorders, and, you know, her relationships with other people, her addictions and just how she got herself back, like how she took control of her life again, and realized how, you know, a lot of these things weren't her fault. They were of a mother who is possibly narcissistic, all this stuff. And having her mother kind of die of cancer may or may not have been, like, it's always complicated when you lose someone.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, this person was actually abusing you.
Yeah. So there's extra complication to the emotions.
Yeah. So there's lots going on there. So it just really explores a lot of that, how she was able to, you know, go to therapy, quit acting, and where her life is now.
Yeah.
So it was just, yeah. And she did it in a way that was very, like, it still respected the topics of, like, very, like, she explained them really well, right, and not in a disrespectful way,
yeah,
but she still had humor behind it because that's who she is as a person as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I think she just did, it was like, created a very inspiring story about what she's been through.
Yeah.
And it was very, there were still parts that were relatable to it, even though she is a child actor, or was a child actor. So I don't know. It was very entertaining to get through, even though...
Yeah, that's what I've heard about it.
Yeah, it was it definitely explores harder topics, but also more lighthearted stuff as well.
Yeah, and I think I had this thought, and I don't know if you'll agree with it, because I didn't read the book, so I want to have your take on it. But I was just thinking that it feels like, as provocative as the title is, that's not really the reason why it was written. Wasn't to be provocative.
Yeah.
It was written to explore those emotions in a very honest way. Mm-hmm. It just so happens that the title is very provocative.
Yeah. And I think...
But it's not her trying to use that necessarily in an improper way throughout the book.
Yeah, no, like, I think she handles it very well and explores it. And yeah, like, it makes sense overall to the book.
Yes.
For sure.
Yeah. I've heard a lot about it. I haven't read it. I've heard passages from it.
I've heard the audiobook is really good, because I think she's...
She does it herself.
She does it herself. And I've heard it was really good. Yeah.
On TikTok, is specifically the one that gets posted a lot, is where she's talking about her time working with Ariana Grande.
Mm-hmm.
And how there was unfair, you know, Ariana Grande got kind of what she asked for. And McCurdy did not. Just kind of the complications around that. So I know a little bit about it, and it seems like it's a really impactful book.
I think so. I think you need to go into it with the right frame of mind, though, also, because, again, like, content warnings.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff
with it, and she does go into detail with that, but it is very interesting to see just how much children go through that. You just are watching a TV show on, like, you know, being younger and watching iCarly or whatever these shows are, and you're like, wow, they're having so much fun, like, they must just have the best time with all their coworkers after. And then you realize, like, no, they're actually going through so much more than we realize. And I think there's a new documentary
there is that kind of connects about the Nickelodeon stuff.
And I think, like, I don't know, I know Drake Bell has been coming out with some stuff too.
There's been a lot of movement there.
So, which is, it's great to see that we're, you know, that that's getting the publicity, but it's just, it's sad and unfortunate that that had to happen to these people that we grew up with. So yeah, it's a little bit on a sadder note, but...
Well, I'm going to go off of that one, and I'm going to say that, and I've already mentioned it, so the next one on my list was I'm Afraid of Men by Vivek Shraya. This is one of my 5-star reads. This is a memoir, and this is very specifically a memoir. And this is a really good example of a theme-based memoir, because while Vivek Shraya talks about the whole story of her life, it is very much painted through the lens of gender discussion, LGBTQIA, and feminism. All of that is wound into this. And she's really only pulling the parts of her life, while she is pulling from all parts of her life, she's really only pulling from parts of her life that relate to that.
Mm-hmm.
So the book is divided into 3 sections. There's the intro, there's you, and me. This is another version where there's a second person point of view, which forces the reader into the shoes of her oppressors, her bullies, and even her beloved. And so there's kind of a humanity that she's giving very oddly to the people who have hurt her. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was really, it was a really strong choice. And it was really interesting to read. And then the me switches to the writer, to Shreya, and the voice of her own life. And this really helped focus her approach to the stories around internal struggle of self-identity and self-expression. It was really powerful in the sense that the end started to read almost like a manifesto of how to live. And I really appreciated how much honesty went into it as well. And I know you read this one as well. And mm-hmm. that was kind of your takeaway, how raw it was.
Yeah.
It wasn't a light read. I kind of went into it hoping to cross a book off my list, to be honest, because it's, I think, like 125 pages. It's very short.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought to myself, wow, if I can't just, you know, eat this one in one sitting, what the heck is wrong with me? But it was a lot harder to get through than I thought mm-hmm. because of the content. And that's not to say it wasn't really well done. Like I said, it was a 5-star read for me, but it was really heavy. And I found for weeks after reading this, I didn't have the capacity to read anything else. Like mm-hmm. I was still thinking about it. I will say, don't go into this one lightly. There's a lot of misogyny, sexism, racism, transphobia, biphobia, homophobia, bullying, like detail, like a lot about it too. Yeah. Sometimes I put up content warnings when there's like even just a little bit of a mention, but those ones, like, it really goes into depth about it. And I think I didn't know a lot about Shreya before I read this. This was not somebody I was interested in.
Yeah.
Particularly learning more about their life, but the way she writes about gender and identity and feminism is really powerful. So I would actually recommend this more for people who are looking for that.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, if you know Vivek Shreya, then I think you would get a lot of enjoyment, like quite a bit of enjoyment out of it. But I really think you can go into this one without knowing anything about her.
I didn't know a thing about her. And no, very, very good writer for sure.
Yeah, very strong. It's not, I want to say it's like not for the faint of heart either. Like, don't go into that without knowing that it's going to be heavy.
Yeah, definitely, again, be in that right
mindset. Yeah.
Yeah.
And don't judge a book by its cover. It's a beautiful book. That's not what I mean. But like, it's 125 pages or something like that. Yeah. Like, I was really like, I could read this in an afternoon.
Be easy peasy.
Vivek Shreya was like, nah, girl, you can't.
And it's small. It's like a short, it's like, little squat
book. Yeah, it's
too.
Not only thin, but it's small too. Yeah. Like, it's like a pocketbook.
Yeah.
That packs a huge punch.
Yeah. I love that.
Yeah.
That should be on the title.
Yeah.
Packs a huge punch.
Yeah, it does.
Okay, so I Want to Die, But I Want to Eat Tteokbokki.
I just love the title. I say this every time you bring it up. Just the title is an A+.
That's what caught my eye. Baek-si-hee, pronunciation of Korean, very poor. So sorry about that. And it's been translated.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it caught my eye. The cover is really cute. It's like this girl laying in bed and she's reaching for her tteokbokki and bright colors.
Yeah.
And I've been wanting to read it for a long time. So I finally did, I believe last year before, I can't remember when I read it now, but it kind of, so it explores her recordings of her dialogues with her psychiatrist over 12 weeks. So she recorded herself and then she would do kind of like her own journaling of like what happened in that scenario,
right?
Or in that session with her therapist, and then why she would be having these thoughts and feelings, or where did that come from? Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't say overall there wasn't like a satisfying
conclusion
to it, but I think that's the point. The point is that, so she kind of starts seeing this therapist because she just feels like am I depressed? Like, is that what I'm feeling? Like, I feel like I'm going through this mundane life of doing the same mm-hmm. things over and over again. I'm not really having these deep interpersonal relationships. I'm, you know, self-doubting myself, like all these things I think everyone can relate to.
Mm-hmm.
And she just wasn't able to get out of that cycle on her own. And first of all, I liked that it kind of highlighted like, oh, you know, you don't have to have this traumatic event happen to you to seek out therapy or like all these things. Like, it's just like, maybe there's just something a little off that you're like, just can't, like, you just need someone, an external force to be like, hey, maybe this is what's going on.
Maybe, like, this is what you need. Yeah.
Yeah. And so it's kind of just normalizing that you can go to therapy whenever.
Yeah.
and still get some stuff out of it. And, you know, she just needed that in that moment. And at the end of it, she still was like, yeah, like, I'm still going through these things. I'm still working on these things.
Yeah, there hasn't been a resolution.
Yeah, there's no resolution yet. And I think that's really important to highlight in kind of that self-help, self-discovery.
Yeah.
Figuring out all the, you know, the intricacies of being a human. Because, yeah, you know, the brain be like that.
It do be like that sometimes.
Do be like that sometimes, where you just like something just feels off and you just feel like you're not going where you need to go. And yeah. So yeah, I really liked it. So it is kind of described as like a memoir slash like self-help book.
Right.
In that way that she is analyzing these. It's like she's analyzing her being analyzed, I guess is how I would describe it.
It's meta.
Yeah. Yeah. Very meta. So I really thought that was super interesting to do it like that, present it like that. But yeah, I think it's good. Like, if you're, I think it'd be really good for someone who's maybe in therapy or interested in therapy or feeling the same way of like, oh, I'm just doing the same kind of thing over and over again. That might be a good way to be like, oh, so that's what therapy's like. That's what you can get out of it.
Yeah.
And not realize that, you know, you don't necessarily have to have an end goal with it. You're just
working on you.
You're just working on you.
Yeah. I like that a lot.
Yeah. So it's like, it was a very chill, mellow memoir, mm-hmm. I found.
Nice. I like that. All right. Well, this is my last one.
Okay.
So we're kind of ending on a lighter note, I guess. Although maybe not with the contents of this. I'm going to say it and then we can talk about it. Mm-hmm. So this is Can I Say Living Large, Cheating Death, and Drums, 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 which is Travis Barker's autobiography. I've been calling it an autobiography. I would say it's an autobiography. In Storygraph, they have it as a memoir, which I really argue with.
I wonder if Storygraph even has the autobiography.
It
option.
Does. Does it? It does. Okay. Yeah. So I'm just, yeah, I guess in the sense that it is more about his, specifically about his music life, mm-hmm. we could call it a memoir. And that does make sense. So I'll allow it. I'm the final say on this.
Yeah.
So. Clearly I know better. No, it is listed as a memoir, so I will call it that. But So Travis Barker, for those who are unaware, is a very famous drummer. He's worked with a lot of people at this point. You can literally look up, like, people contact him just to get him to do the drums on a song. Like, they do a collaboration with it. And he's really good at the drums.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I know him because he was the drummer for Blink-182 and is mm-hmm. still the drummer for Blink-182. And Travis Barker has been through a lot. So And I don't remember the exact dates, but sometime in the late 2000s, he got into a plane crash that, listen, I don't like planes, so that was a little bit hard to read about, but it was a private plane and something went wrong during takeoff and he ended up basically like being on fire and he went through a lot. And so he struggled with substance abuse kind of because of that, but also before that. He had to go through rehab just to be able to play the drums again. There was a lot of really crazy stuff that came out of that. Now, that seems to make you think that it's like a memoir of just that, but it's really not focused on his plane crash. It does talk about his whole life,
mm-hmm.
specifically through the lens of the music industry, for sure. And it's really interesting seeing and just hearing some of his stories. I don't think you can read some of his, like, he's really honest about all of his stories, even in the sense when they don't necessarily make him look great.
Okay.
And while that did kind of break down some of the, I guess, adoration I had of him, it kind of ruined that part of it because he was being maybe honest about some not so nice parts of himself. I did feel, as a reader and as somebody who was looking to learn more about him, like, I did actually learn more about him, and I really appreciated that level of honesty, because it would have been really easy for him to leave out certain aspects of his story and he didn't, and I just like fully appreciate mm-hmm. that. I think with this one, I think you could just read it.
Yeah.
And it's a really good it's a really good memoir. I think if you have any interest in any of the people that he ends up knowing or anything like that, it would be a little bit more interesting. So if you're a fan or like or heard of Blink-182, like that makes it a little bit better. But also he does a lot of collaboration work with a lot of people. I know there's a whole section in there about doing songs with like Eminem.
Okay.
Which is actually really interesting because that was kind of at the height of his substance abuse, Travis Barker's. And he knew that Eminem was going, like, it was in recovery. So he was very careful what he brought near that collaboration session, which, like, that level of respect was really nice to see. But he's worked with so many people that, you know, if you have an interest in music at all and you like certain bands or artists or whatever, I think you could find a lot of value just, like, hearing about them through his eyes. I think the thing I like the most about this memoir is that it is honest.
Yeah.
And I do love how honest he decided to be in it. And it makes the reading experience better. As a fan, you might not like love certain aspects of it because it does ruin that a little bit. But I mean, it fits his identity too, to be that raw and honest. So,
and I think, like, yeah, like you said, like, it's super like admirable to for someone to be that honest about their life, because it's hard to admit when you're a crappy person.
Yeah.
But also, I find that when these, you know, famous people do write about their lives and they aren't honest, they're gonna, it's gonna get blasted on the internet.
You're not gonna succeed with that, no, right? Like, so, what's the point?
Exactly. So you might as well write it in your own words and, you know, your truth than have it come out and then you're putting out fires.
I will say, and learning about some of the struggles he had after the plane crash has also made just like following his life a little bit more interesting. Mm-hmm. So I believe at the time that he finished that book, he was still like, he would take the boat. He would take a boat to like Europe or something if they were going to go on. Like, he would go out of, like, he was not getting on a plane.
Yeah.
And like, fair.
Yeah. Fair.
With ya. Understood. Yeah. No problem. But then to learn that he's actually overcome that now.
Yeah.
So that's even more special. And yeah, there was a lot of people online who were maybe giving him a little bit of crap about his relationship with Kourtney Kardashian when they first were dating and then got married. Honestly, I just think it's a little bit funny because I just was like, this dude went through it. If like I was like, you guys could just leave him alone.
Yeah.
He's been through enough. Like, just
it. Let the man be happy.
Let the man be happy. He deserves it.
Yeah.
So I really did love how honest it felt. And it does feel like, and I know I don't know him, but it feels more like I understand a little bit about him. And you don't always get that with autobiographies.
Yeah.
So I was really impressed that he went that far. Yeah, highly recommend. It's a very fun read. And plus, because he's like a punk rock drummer, it's a little bit less uptight, polished. There's some really funny moments and he's not afraid to be a little bit more crass and stuff. So it's a very fun read in that aspect too, whereas autobiographies are usually a little bit more like, you know, uptight.
Yeah.
Oh, look at me.
This is my special life that everyone gets to read about.
It's not like, anyway, I can't really repeat some of the stuff I was about to say.
So. Yeah, that's
fair. All right, do you have one more or are you done?
I'm done.
All right.
Yeah, that was good.
Shall we draw our next topic?
Yes.
Crisp sound of that. I don't even know if that picked
the
up.
The most, like, flourished opening of a piece of paper.
It probably didn't even pick up, so it probably just nobody's gonna get it.
Yeah.
All right, so this says, who are your favorite villains or anti-heroes? I like the inclusion of anti-hero. Like, villain was good, and then it just, like blossomed.
Yeah, that's gonna make my brain think, because I gotta think of
Well, I have news for you. That is what it's...
Yay! Yay!
You're like, don't be saucy with me.
Yeah.
All right. Well, what is next on your reading list?
So currently reading Alphabetical Diaries by Sheila Heaty. She's a Canadian author. It's a memoir. And the concept of it's super interesting. I already kind of gushed about it on Instagram because...
You couldn't help yourself.
I couldn't help myself. Basically, she took all of her journals alphabetized them all, put them in a book. And so basically, like, each chapter is like a different letter from A to Z. And it's just super interesting to see how she, I don't know, set it up. I'm a little confused what's going on because it's not chronological. It's all, you know, obviously it's not chronological. So yeah. It feels like I'm in one direction and then all of a sudden I'm in another direction and I'm like, right. What's going on? But I feel like at the end of the memoir, I'll have like a generalized understanding of what's going on.
I feel
on.
Like when you get to the end, it's going to be worth it for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah. So right now I'm in the I section and there's a lot of I's obviously because it's her journal.
Yeah.
So, but it's really good.
I love that.
What about you? What are you reading?
All right, so I'm still working on All of Our Demise, and I really just want that to be done. So hopefully I get that done before our next one, but that totally means I'm not going to. So
yay.
So we've also started on The Path of Daggers, which is book 8 of The Wheel of Time by Robert Jordan. I did have to look that up on StoryGraph. I'm just going to fully admit that because I just want to say somebody I follow on StoryGraph, not going to name names here, give it a 2. So I'm not thrilled about going into this one. We've officially entered what is called the slog, and I mentioned that already. So I'm expecting them to slow down.
Yeah.
And not be amazing. So we'll see how this one unfolds, I guess. We are also doing this one only in 2 parts on our podcast.
Oh, interesting.
It's a little bit shorter, and by shorter, I mean it's like only 680 pages or something.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's definitely going to be a little bit of a different approach. And yeah, I'm kind of pumped to read it in the sense that I'm excited to get through the slog.
Yeah.
Towards the end. One, because I'm excited to be able to say we're done. And that's going to feel really good because this has been almost a year project now. And it will be by the time we finish.
Mm-hmm.
But also because I know lots of people really liked the last book that Robert Jordan wrote, which is book 11, I believe. And then you get into the Sanderson ones, which I'm also really excited and curious about.
Yeah.
So we're kind of making, you know, we're over halfway now. So it's kind of feeling like it.
Yeah.
A little anxious for the end, but also maybe the payoff's going to be really worth it, and that I'm excited about. So
yeah, well, and I wonder if the slog, you know, maybe it's you're overestimating the slog,
yeah,
so maybe it won't feel as bad as everyone makes it out to
I
be.
Know some people online were kind of saying, you know, oh, I didn't notice the slog, or I only noticed it in this book, but some people say it's this book, and it's kind of more of a joke than anything, but I will say, like, book 7 had moments where I was like, I could see if more of this starts coming up, how it could be a little bit painful to get through. So I don't know. We'll see. I haven't started my section yet, obviously, because that's me. But yeah, we'll see how it goes.
Interesting. Anything else? Or
no, that was pretty much it.
Nice.
Great. Any final thought?
I hope someone got some ideas of memoirs.
Yeah, I hope you guys enjoyed.
Yeah. I know, like, they can be very niche and to certain people's likings, but hopefully someone out there thought, hey, yeah, I never thought to read that. Maybe I'll give it a try.
And just jumping off of that, if you do end up reading one, or you think there's one that we should know about, or you just want to talk about one, feel free to go join our Discord server. The link is in the description of this podcast, and it's a place where we talk about all sorts of books, fiction, nonfiction, all of that. We also have a book club called the 2AM Book Club, which you can find more information about on that server. And that is also where the discussions are happening for our Queens of Fantasy sister podcast that's reading the Wheel of Time book is happening. So you can find people who are reading those books there and just ask us questions or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
In that spot. So definitely go and check that out. If you want to go see Megan posting just gushing about her new books and which one she's reading on Instagram, go ahead and check us out on @thebookjarpod there. Consider leaving a review for this podcast if you want to get it out to more people, and we would appreciate that a lot. A review or a rating, we appreciate either. Otherwise, that brings us to the end of this one. So I want to thank you for listening. And because I still have not come up with a new catchphrase for the end, we will leave it with a good old keep on reading on.
Bye.
Bye. I don't know why that outro was so hard.
That was really... I felt the struggle. That was the slog.
No.
I'm just kidding.
No. It really was.
It was.
I feel like my brain turned to mush.
Yeah. Yeah. You're like, I talked about books for an hour. Let's
Social media is a thing we have.
Yeah, we do have those. And
yeah, and I'm sure anyone listening to the end of this is like, oh, it wasn't that bad, but I cleaned out all the spaces. So imagine that took like 20 minutes.
Yeah, it's a it's like editing is the real life magic.
Yeah, it's the real hack.
Yeah, it's the real hack.
All right, I'm going to go have more coffee.
Okay.